the silent void beyond the Emperor's light, an ancient darkness awakes, an insatiable hunger echoing across the endless abyss. Welcome to Grimdark Shards, where the grim tales of the 41st millennium are carved from the void. Tonight, prepare to be drawn into a mystery cloaked in shadow, a journey into the ghoul stars, where daring souls seek forbidden riches and secrets long buried in the darkness. In this tale, one renegade voidsman finds himself on a treacherous path among outcasts and pirates, drawn by a rumor of a forsaken relic hidden aboard a ghost ship. His harrowing account teeters on the edge of despair and defiance, where every whisper and flicker of light may hide a terror beyond imagining. If you crave the thrill of the unknown and the weight of ancient dread, then you are in the right place. Subscribe to Grimdark Shards and join us as we unravel the mystery of the Ghoul Stars, and sound the bell of notification to receive more chilling revelations as we uncover them. Let your courage be your guide as we step into the darkness together. Now, steel your resolve, for something awakes. I left the Emperor's light behind when I fled the Navy, but I never thought I'd miss it so dearly. Out here, beyond the Astronomicon's glow, the void is a different kind of dark, one that seeps into your bones. The ghoul stars loom ahead, an expanse of dying suns whose cold light does nothing to lift the blackness. As we cut through the emptiness, I feel as though we're ants crawling on the belly of a beast too large to comprehend. They call me Varos now, just another voidsman turned renegade. Days ago I was an Imperial crewman, scrubbing plasma conduits, dreaming of a different life. Now I'm a pirate, at least by their reckoning. The ship, a scarred frigate named the Cerberus Blade, shudders as it leaves real space, entering the outer reaches of the ghoul stars. I'm strapped into a creaking harness in the crew hold, knuckles white on the restraints, watching the lumen strips flicker overhead. The transition from warp was rough, no surprise, given how faint the Astronomicon is out here. Our navigator all but screamed, bringing us in, but we made it. Emperor be thanked, though I shouldn't whisper that name here. The others would sneer if they heard me invoke the Emperor. This crew abandoned him and his Imperium long ago. Some never knew his light to begin with. In hushed tones, they tell stories to scare fresh meat like me. Tales of Imperial missionaries who vanished out here, of ghost ships crewed by the dead, of Zeno's nightmares lurking just out of sight. I'd laugh it off as void tale nonsense, but the fear in their eyes after the laughter dies tells me they half believe it. When my harness lock finally disengages, I haul myself up on unsteady legs, the nausea of warp travel still clinging to me. "Check your gear and get to post," roars First Mate Serok down the length of the hold. He likes to single me out with his one good eye. The other is a milky augmetic orb that whirs as it focuses. I nod quickly and mumble acknowledgement, avoiding his gaze. Serok is built like a Grox and about as charming. Never misses a chance to remind me I'm the green whelp here. The crew moves around me with hardened efficiency. A dozen killers and cutthroats on this run. There's Ralvar, the gunner, tattooed with killmark etchings. Belva, our helmswoman, lean and quiet with twitching bionic fingers. Old Karis, the mechanic, skin-stained with machine oil and prayer ink, though whether he prays to the Omnissiah or something darker, I don't ask. Thales, the navigator, swaddled in stained robes and still trembling from guiding us in blind. His warp eye stays hidden behind a silk band, thank the stars. And then there's Captain Serik Soloran himself, striding through the bustle with calm authority. Captain Soloran. Tall, long coat refitted from a navy greatcoat. Stolen pins and medals gleaming on his chest. His face is lean, a handsome ruin laced with scars. But his eyes, Emperor's mercy, His eyes are as cold as the void outside. I've only spoken to him a few times since they took me in, but each time I feel him weighing my soul. He gave me a chance to prove myself on this venture, likely hoping the ghoul stars would kill me if I proved a liability. I mean to show him, show them all, that Varos isn't weak. Why did I join them? A question I ask myself every quiet cycle. It's not like the Imperium gave me much choice. I remember the alarms blaring on the deck of the sword-class ship I served, the shriek of tearing metal as Solaran's pirates ambushed us. We never stood a chance. When the boarding torches cut through and they flooded in, I was just trying to survive. I did things in that chaos, things I'd rather forget, to make it out alive. At the end, surrounded by bodies of shipmates and raiders alike, Captain Solaran offered a simple choice: join or die. The corpse of our ship drifted behind us as I nodded numbly. Better a living pirate than a loyal corpse, I figured. Our target now is a derelict said to be hidden in the ghoul stars, a treasure ship from centuries past, or so the whispers go. Belva calls it a fool's errand, but she still pilots us onward. Coin and curiosity drive us all. It might be a lost rogue trader vessel, or an abandoned Mechanicus Ark, filled with archaeotech or plunder from dead worlds out here. The charts we have are patchy, old records, a half-burned star map Solaran keeps close. But the captain is convinced, and his conviction is contagious. I run through my gear check. My hands still shake as I slot a fresh power cell into my last carbine. It's an old naval issue piece I kept, a familiar weight that steadies me. The rest of the crew carry a motley assortment. Stub pistols, cutlasses, a few xenoblades from prior plunder. Serok hefts a boarding axe nearly as tall as me, its head caked with layers of dried blood. As I finish strapping on a battered flak vest, the ship's vox caster crackles overhead. The captain's voice, loud and with the usual authority, "All hands!" We've made translation. Belva, hold us steady. Auspex's returns show our mark dead ahead, just where it should be. A chorus of acknowledgements follows, and an excited murmur runs through us. Weeks through warp and void chasing ghosts, and now we finally have a fix on our prize. A thrill of anticipation cuts through my nerves. Maybe Solaran was right after all. I make my way to a portside viewport. Pressing my face to the thick plasteel, I peer out into star-speckled black. At first I see nothing. Then I notice one star. No, not a star. Too dark. An absence of stars, a shape blocking the sparse light. "Emperor," I whisper without thinking. Old habits. Ralvar hears and spits at the mention of him, but I'm transfixed. A colossal silhouette drifts against the distant starlight, a void ship, silent and derelict. Even without running lights, its outline is unmistakable, limned faintly by a pallid star's glow. Twisted spires and antennae, a broken hull yawning open at the midsection. This hulk has seen hell. Scorch marks from weapons mar its flanks. Entire sections look melted by terrible heat, and one of its great engines is torn clean off. "Throne, it's huge," I mutter. The vessel could swallow our frigate 10 times over. Could this really be the treasure ship, or some old war wreck? Something about it unsettles me. It drifts at an odd angle, like a corpse floating in water, and as we draw nearer I feel my skin prickle. "Varos!" Serok's bark startles me. "Get to the shuttle on the double. You're on the away team." Of course I am, expendable as any new recruit, and they'll want my knowledge of Imperial ship layouts. I nod and hurry off, rushing past Keres, who is chanting a scrap code litany under his breath, past a knot of deckhands who finger weapons and protective trinkets. In the launch bay, the away team gathers by our boarding craft. Captain Solaran is there, strapping on a power cutlass at his hip and checking his ornate bolt pistol. He catches my eye, perhaps noting my mix of excitement and fear. "Stay sharp, Varos," he says evenly. "You're our navigator once we're in. You know Imperial layouts. Keep us on path." I swallow. "Aye, Captain." It's true I spent years serving on Navy ships, memorizing the decks. If that derelict follows standard pattern, maybe I can guide us to the bridge or vaults faster. The away team is six. Captain Solaran, Serok with his axe, Ralvar, Keres for tech, Serena, our scout and crackshot, and me. Serena is a lithe woman with shock white hair, a sniper rifle slung on her back. She gives me a faint nod. I've barely spoken to her. She keeps to the shadows, but her eyes are sharp and calm. We pile into the boarding shuttle, a battered Aquila lander repurposed for piracy, and strap in. The bay doors open, and through the shimmer of void shields, I see the derelict looming. The shuttle's engines hum, and Belva's voice comes through the vox. "Away team, you are clear for launch. Emperor's luck, with obvious irony." We detach. The shift from our ship's gravity to weightlessness makes my stomach lurch. I focus on the shuttle's controls, watching our trajectory to the silent giant. Static hisses over the vox net, a whisper that could be cosmic interference this far out. Keres fiddles with the auspecs, swearing at ghost signals. Solaran orders silence. We descend the last kilometers in quiet. A gaping hull breach on the derelict's side becomes our entry point. The shuttle's searchlights lance through the dark, illuminating hull plating scarred with ancient wounds. The closer we get, the stronger my unease. Not just nerves, almost a feeling of being watched by something old and malevolent. I tighten my grip on the las carbine. The shuttle jostles as Serena finds a perch on a warped chunk of hull that might have been a hangar deck. "Mag clamps engaged," she calls, locking us onto the hull. We exhale. Docking on a drifting hulk is always dicey. One misstep and you bounce off into the void. We cycle the airlock. Keres checks the auspecs. Minimal atmo, mostly inert. We'll need breathers. We don void helmets and rebreathers, just in case. Serok pries the outer hatch. Metal screeches and yields. What greets us is a tomb. Our helmet lamps cut through drifting dust and ash in a dark corridor. Scarred walls bear blast marks and dried streaks of what might be blood, crusted in low gravity. Cables hang like entrails from the torn ceiling. The silence is so deep that even our boot magnets clanking on the deck sound muffled. We fan out in pairs, weapons ready. Serena and Ralvar take point. The captain and Serok follow, then me and Keres. Keres holds the auspecs out, scanning for life or power. It clicks softly, far too loud in this dead place. "Any readings?" I whisper, my voice hollow over the vox. Keres mutters, "Nothing clear. Lot of interference. Could be the hull, or..." He doesn't finish. "Or something else. Out here, interference could mean exotic radiation, warp residue. Emperor knows what. We press on." The corridor opens into a larger chamber, an embarkation deck. The shuttle could have landed here if bay doors worked. I sweep my lamp across the space and nearly cry out. Bodies. Dozens of them, floating or sprawled, low G making some drift like puppets on strings. Looks like an entire boarding party met a bloody end. Void suits and weapons lie scattered. Not all the dead are human. Among them, I glimpse smaller, spindly shapes. Perhaps crude mercenaries. Whoever last boarded this ship met violent resistance. Captain Solaran motions us to spread out. In the dim light, we confirm the gruesome fate of those boarders. Withered, mummified corpses with limbs torn away and chunks of flesh missing. One has a huge bite taken out of his torso, ragged flesh and splintered bone suggesting a creature with claws or teeth rather than any weapon. Another's arms are severed at the shoulders, the stumps dry as if drained of blood. Not by blades or lass, Keris mutters, prodding a shredded flak plate with a mechadendrite. Claws, maybe. Emperor knows how long since this happened. Years, Soloran says quietly. He points to a wall where a thin layer of hoarfrost has formed. Atmosphere's dry. Could be decades. These might have been scavengers like us. A chill runs through me, unrelated to the cold. We're not the first to seek treasure here. But what killed them? We push on warily. Every shifting shadow in our lamps makes my heart hammer. At one point, Serena halts, raising a clenched fist. We freeze. I strain to hear. Yes. A faint skittering echo from somewhere in the vents above. It stops after a moment. We exchange uneasy glances. Probably just the derelict settling. Surely nothing's alive here after all this time, right? I tell myself that and move on. We find a main passage and some faded high Gothic markings. By our lamps I read, "Bridge," with an arrow. Good. If we're to recover logs or valuable cargo, the bridge cogitators or captain's vault are key. The path takes us through a wrecked hab section, compartments blown out, signs of old fires, strange spidery scorch marks on the floor, like lightning strikes frozen in metal. We finally reach the armored bridge doors. They're ajar, stuck partly open by bent metal. Keris moves up to wedge them wider. As he works, Captain Soloran's voice crackles over the squad channel. Our priority is intel and valuables. Serena, check logs if any power. Keris, assist. Ralvar and Serosh, secure the room. Varos, with me. Heart pounding, I squeeze through the narrow opening onto the bridge. The air here is stale and bitter with the stench of ancient death. Our lights sweep over a command throne where a skeletal figure sits slumped in cracked ceramite armor, likely the ship's master. A massive hole punches through the chest plate and the bones beneath, as if something struck straight through. More bodies litter the bridge, some still strapped to stations, others crumpled on the deck. Some look like they died in combat, others as if they just dropped dead. Serena finds a console that glows faintly, emergency power still clinging on. She pulls a data cable from her wrist slate and plugs in, goggles whirring. Downloading log fragments. If the machine spirit is kind, she mutters. Keris hovers behind her, patching in with his augmetics. Meanwhile, the captain and I step around bodies, checking for anything of value or clues. I pick up a cracked data slate from the floor, tucking it away on instinct. It might hold something. A loose panel suddenly crashes down nearby, making me whirl and nearly fire. Just debris dislodged by our movements. I exhale slowly. Soloran glances my way but says nothing, continuing his sweep. A few tense minutes pass. Ralvar reports the corridor outside is still clear. Serok grumbles about not lingering. I can't help but agree. This place feels wrong. Got something? Serena says. We gather around her. Lines of text scroll on the flickering display, fragmented by time and damage. Entered the Ghoul Star's fringe. Plague or entity. Crew falling to madness. Nightmares manifest. Our eyes meet through our visors. Entity. She scrolls gently. Sealed the artifact in the vault. Too late. Emperor, forgive us. They are here. The screams. Cannot. Engine failure. Drifting. Awaiting death. The log ends in a jumble of nonsense. A heavy silence follows, broken only by the crackle of the dying screen. Artifact, Soloran breathes. So there is something of value here. Cap, did you read that? Serok growls. Crew madness. Nightmares manifest. That's no ordinary plague. Whatever it was happened years ago. The captain answers, jaw set. likely gone or long dormant. We stay sharp, but we didn't come all this way to leave empty-handed. Dormant. The word echoes in my mind. What if it's not gone? What if it's here, watching us even now? I push the dread aside. Greed and hope are stronger in this moment. We need to see this through. Soloran orders us toward engineering and the vaults below, wherever this artifact was sealed. Serena tries to pull schematics, but the data's too corrupted. I pipe up, voice hushed. On most Imperial designs, valuables are in main cargo or a secure vault near engineering. If this was a rogue trader vessel, likely a vault below decks. He nods. Engineering, then vault. Move out. Before we leave, the captain pauses by the dead officer on the throne. He lifts a hand in a subtle salute, then gently removes a necklace hanging around the skeleton's neck, a key with an ornate sigil. Might need this, he murmurs, pocketing it. We retrace our steps to a lift shaft. Power's out, so we climb down ladder rungs one by one. The shaft is claustrophobic, the suit making every movement awkward. Partway down, that skittering sound comes again, echoing eerily through the metal. Something moving in the ducts. My heart thuds. But nothing emerges, and we reach engineering safely. The drive decks are silent and cold. One look and I see why. One of the plasma reactors is a fused lump, half the chamber charred black from an ancient explosion. They must have tried to overload the engines or had a meltdown. We clamber past blackened servitor husks, and something melted into a bulkhead that might once have been human. I swallow bile and keep going. A corridor leads from engineering to cargo. We come upon a heavy vault door, sealed and unpowered. The ornate key might fit, but without power the maglocks won't budge. Keres and Ralvar jury-rig a melter charge to blow it. Serok stations Serena and me to cover the rear while they work. The silence as we wait is oppressive. Serena's voice crackles in my helmet private channel. First time on a ghost ship? I force a chuckle. Is it that obvious? She almost smiles. You get used to it, or you don't, and you end up like those back there. She tilts her head toward where we came, meaning the corpses. Comforting. I shake my head, but oddly, her calm banter steadies me. Then a faint whisper snakes through my vox. I stiffen. It's almost a voice, pleading. I glance at Serena. She's tense too. Hear that? I murmur. She nods. Probably just interference. But her tone isn't convincing. Fire in the hole, Keres hisses. We duck behind the bulkhead corner. A muffled thump and shower of sparks, then the vault door creaks open. Entry, Serok calls. We sweep in weapons raised. The main cargo vault is vast, filled with shadowy shapes of crates and containers, some broken open long ago, others still sealed. At the center, upon a raised dais, is something quite different. A cylindrical glass tank, encased in an ornate metal frame, man-sized and secured to the deck with clamps and cables. Purity seals and warding runes hang tattered around it. Whatever it is, someone clearly wanted it contained. Inside the cylinder, through frost and grime, I can just make out something. A dark, vaguely organic shape. Serok wipes a gauntlet across the glass, clearing some frost. Our lamp beams reveal it fully, and I feel my stomach turn. It's like a chunk of petrified flesh, roughly the size of a human torso, bound in heavy chains covered in arcane symbols. The flesh is grey-green, fibrous. It might have once been living tissue, or some xeno-organism, now long dormant. Intricate inscriptions are etched along the inner surface of the glass. Runes or formulas I don't recognize. Jackpot, Captain Soloran whispers. His eyes shine with triumph. Help me disconnect this. Carefully. This thing must be the artifact from the log. Forbidden enough to seal away, valuable enough to die for. Revulsion washes over me. The very sight of it makes my skin crawl. I want to be far away from it. But I also see the greed in my companions' faces. Keres is almost reverent as he approaches. Ralvar is already prying at a nearby crate, grinning at thoughts of secondary loot. Only Serena looks as wary as I feel. Serok and the captain examine the clamps securing the cylinder to its generator base. It's inert now, Keres says, running a scanner over it. No power. Those runes and seals. Some kind of containment, possibly psychic. Cut them, the captain orders. Keres hesitates. Sir, if this was containing something... We're taking it, Solaran snaps. It's worth our lives 100 times over. If you're scared, step back, else help me get it loose. Chastened, Keres produces a laser cutter and starts slicing cables. Serok and I brace the cylinder as clamps pop free one by one. With a hiss, the last connection releases. The cylinder is surprisingly heavy, but it has built-in handles. Solaran and I lift it out of its cradle. Through my gloves I feel a subtle warmth, a faint vibration, as if the thing inside has a heartbeat that barely thrums. Move out, Solaran says, voice hushed but urgent. No one needs convincing. We want off this ghost ship. Captain, Serena calls quietly from the vault entrance, covering our retreat. We have to move. Now! I hear it too, a wet, guttural gurgling echoing from the dark corridor. Ralvar swings up his shotgun. Show yourself, he barks into the shadows. A shape skitters across the edge of our lights, too quick to focus on. Ralvar fires reflexively, the boom of his shotgun deafening in the enclosed space. The muzzle flash lights up a pale, sinewy silhouette before it vanishes. An unearthly shriek reverberates through the metal halls, a sound that makes my blood run cold, like a swarm of insects screaming with one voice. Back to the shuttle, go, Solaran commands. Serok and Ralvar take the lead. The captain and I carry the cylinder between us as fast as we can. Serena and Keres cover our rear. Serena fires down the hall, a sharp crack from her sniper rifle. Hit one, I think, she mutters. I glimpse a flicker of motion at the far end of the corridor, something pale and spidery darting back into the darkness. We double time it to the engineering deck and the ladder up. The metal all around echoes with scrapes and clanks, above, behind, beside, like the sound is coming from everywhere. It feels as though the shadows themselves stalk us. Up the shaft we go. Ralva first, then Serena. The captain and I hook the heavy cylinder to a rope. They haul while we climb below it. Keres and Serok are last. Partway up, Serok curses and swings his axe at something below. I hear a squelch and a high-pitched chittering shriek. He wrenches free, black ichor dripping from the blade, and scrambles after us. Climbing with mag boots and one hand on the ladder, I feel horribly slow. My breath hitches with each rung. Below, another shriek, lasfire from Keres covering himself as he ascends. Almost there, Ralva calls from above. Suddenly, Serena shouts, Behind! She points her rifle down past me and fires. The brief flash illuminates it, gaunt, eyeless, mouth full of needle teeth, clinging to the wall just meters below Serok. Her shot catches it in the throat. It peels away, falling into the darkness. We clamber out of the shaft onto the embarkation deck where our shuttle is docked. I help drag the artifact container up. My heart is pounding so hard I feel it in my ears. Did we lose them? Panting, we regroup by the yawning hull breach, where our shuttle waits clamped to the exterior. Silence now, but for our gasps. Maybe we outpace the creatures. Clang! A thunderous noise makes us all jump. One of the heavy bulkhead doors on the far side of the bay just slammed shut on its own. No power, yet it moved. Karis sputters, "That's not possible." The implication is clear. This ship isn't dead. Not completely. And whatever haunts it is toying with us. "Go, now," Soloran hisses. We grab the cylinder and rush to the shuttle. A short gap of open void separates the torn embarkation deck and our shuttle's hull. Ralvar leaps first, weightless, and catches a handhold on the shuttle. "Pass it over." Soloran and I heave the artifact across. Serena and Ralvar grab it and maneuver it through the shuttle's open side hatch. Serok jumps across. I'm last, covering the rear as I leap. In that instant, a clawed hand lashes from below the deck, snaring my ankle. I yelp as my momentum is jerked short. I slam against a chunk of metal, suit alarms blaring from the impact. A long, pale arm protrudes from a pile of debris, vice grip on my boot. "Varos!" Serena's voice. I see her silhouette in the shuttle's hatch turning back for me. I kick desperately at the limb pinning me. The creature attached is mostly hidden, but I hear a chittering snarl as I connect. The grip loosens and I tear free, half drifting in the zero-g. I grab for a railing, but I'm disoriented, floating. Without hesitation, Serena pushes off from the shuttle, propelling herself toward me. Foolhardy, but Emperor bless her, she catches my flailing arm with one hand and a jutting rail with the other to stop us from drifting away. With a grunt, she shoves me up toward the shuttle's door and the waiting arms that pull me inside. Before she can follow, Serena cries out. A hideous shape hurtles out of the dark and collides with her. It's one of the fiends, all sinew and claws, latching onto her back. She twists, bringing her rifle around and firing even as it savages her arm. The shot blows through the creature's shoulder, but it clings on, hissing. Serok lunges from the hatch, grabbing Serena's leg and yanking her and the creature closer. He's half in, half out of the shuttle, bellowing with effort. The fiend rakes at Serena, tearing through her suit. I see blood globules float from the wound. I snatch up my last carbine and fire a burst. Serok has to duck as my bolts sear past him, stitching across the monster's torso. The thing shudders, releasing Serena as my shots burn through its flesh. In the absence of gravity, it drifts back, limply tumbling into the void. We haul Serena inside, slamming the hatch. "Go, go, go!" Soloran shouts, shoving into the pilot seat. The shuttle's thrusters flare, kicking us away from the accursed hulk. Through the viewport, I glimpse movement on the derelict's hull. Multiple pale figures crawling from the breach, perhaps four or five. One leaps toward us, but falls short, weightless in space, as our shuttle speeds off. In seconds, the nightmare vessel recedes, left behind in silence. Silence. I collapse against the bulkhead, hands shaking uncontrollably. "Emperor! Emperor, we made it." Serena is slumped by the hatch, gasping in pain. Serok curses as he works to stabilize her, clamping a tourniquet above her savaged left arm. The forearm is gone, shredded by the creature's bite. He jabs an injector of coagulant and seals the stump with foam. Serena is strong. She doesn't scream, just grits her teeth, sweat beading on her pale brow. "Hang in there." I try to reassure her, squeezing her shoulder. She manages a nod, eyes squeeze shut. "Belva, get ready to dust off." Ralvar voxes ahead to our ship. We kicked a damn hornet's nest. Minutes later, we're docking back aboard the Cerberus Blade. As soon as the shuttle bay repressurizes, the hatch bursts open and crew rush in. They carry Serena off to the med bay. The rest of us stumble out. I strip off my helmet, gulping the recycled ship air like it's the sweetest perfume. We're blood spattered, shaking, but alive. A few of the remaining crew let out ragged cheers at our return and the sight of the large cylinder we brought back. Some clapped me on the shoulder. But the jubilation is short-lived when they see Serena's unconscious form on a stretcher, her face grey. The thing's venom or filth has blackened the flesh around her stump, and old Keris hurries after the medics, vials and unguents at the ready. I'm not hopeful. It looked bad. Captain Solaran stands over the artifact cylinder in the middle of the bay. He pulls off his own helmet and draws in a long breath, eyes never leaving our prize. Set course out of the ghoul stars. Immediately, he snaps to whoever's listening. Thales, still recovering at his navigator station, voxes back weakly that he'll plot something, but it'll take time. The Astronomicon's light is faint here, making warp translation tricky. Around the artifact, a few of us gather in morbid curiosity. The cylinder sits silently, chains and seals visible through the glass. One deckhand, Fel, reaches out as if to touch one of the parchment wards stuck to it. "Don't!" I bark, sharper than intended. He jerks his hand back, scowling at me. Maybe I overreacted, but I have a bad feeling about disturbing it. The captain himself doesn't reprimand my tone. Perhaps he shares the unease. Once Keris is done tending Serena, the captain calls him to examine the artifact. With barely contained excitement, the tech priest begins measuring and scanning. We wipe more frost off so he can see inside. It's like petrified flesh, possibly once alive, he murmurs. These chains and seals are inscribed with binding runes, some imperial, some not. The container has Mechanicus design elements, but also Xeno's craftsmanship. A stasis or prison device, I'd say. Ralvar grimaces. Prison for what? Emperor's teeth. What is that chunk? Could be a preserved Xeno specimen, or a demon host locked in stasis, I say quietly, voicing the thought none of us want to admit. Captain Solaran's gaze never wavers from the thing. Whatever it is, certain buyers in the cold markets will pay a fortune. We went through fire to get it, and we'll see it through. Serok, arms folded, spits to the side. If we live that long. Solaran's eyes flash, daring anyone to challenge him. We will. Now double time. Everyone to stations. We're leaving this damned region. He personally has us carry the cylinder to his private quarters, perhaps thinking it safest under his own lock and key. I'm surprised when he tells me, only me, to stay with it as guard. Perhaps I proved myself out there, or perhaps he trusts me not to tamper with it. In the cramped confines of the captain's cabin, we secure the cylinder to a bolted table. It looms in the dim light like some grim trophy. Solaran lingers a moment. He does something that I wouldn't have expected. He takes a small Aquila amulet from under his torn coat and whispers a quiet prayer, touching it to his forehead. Sanguine smears of Serena's blood on his sleeve brush the Aquila. Catching my eye, he gives a fleeting, self-conscious shrug. Out here, it never hurts to ask the Emperor's grace, eh? Aye, sir, I reply softly. He tucks the Aquila away and clears his throat. Varos, you watch this. If anything changes, anything, vox me immediately. We'll be in warp soon, Emperor willing, and out of this cursed void. Yes, Captain. He claps my shoulder, then exits, locking me in with the artifact. I'm alone with it. The ship hums with activity as we make ready to translate. Through the door, I catch muffled orders, running footsteps, then mainly silence. My heart rate has finally started to slow. Yet now, face to face with the artifact, I feel more on edge than ever. It's quiet. Nothing but a slight fog of condensation on the inside of the glass and those inscrutable runes coiling around it. I don't trust it one bit. Pacing the small cabin, I keep my las carbine within arm's reach. Clunk, the ship's internal gravity and warp engines shift, likely prepping for translation. It sends a jolt through my nerves. I step closer to the artifact, peering at it. "What are you?" I whisper without meaning to. Of course it gives no answer, but a trick of the light, or my imagination, almost makes it seem like something inside moves, just a twitch. I shake off the fancy. The bridge voxes a warning. Translation in 1 minute. I strap myself into the captain's bunk harness and watch the cylinder warily. The lights dim, the Geller field thrums to life. Then the warp takes us. Even braced, the lurch makes me nauseous. The cabin temperature drops. A thin layer of frost suddenly forms on the bulkhead. Strange, never seen that in translation before. A distant thud reverberates. Turbulence, perhaps. A shrill scream echoes from somewhere on the ship. My blood freezes. It sounded like a man, or maybe not entirely a man. The vox on my belt crackles with shouts. "In the corridor! By the throne, what is that?" Gunfire. No. Emperor. No. My mind jumps to the worst. I yank the cabin door open and peer out with weapon raised. Red emergency lumens flicker. The guard Soloran had posted outside lies in a heap, throat slashed open, blood fanning out in low G. Over him crouches a nightmare. One of the eyeless fiends from the derelict, lapping at the gore. I fire without thinking. The lasbolt catches it in the flank. It screeches, leaping back with terrible agility, limbs scrabbling on the walls. How in the hell? It lunges for me. I manage to slam the cabin door control. The hatch slides shut, and I hear a heavy thud as the creature impacts on the other side. The door buckles slightly under the blow. Behind me in the cabin, I hear a different crack. A high-pitched splintering sound. I spin around. A jagged fracture is spreading across the artifact's glass from within, green-tinged light seeping out. My stomach drops. The monster outside, the artifact cracking. Warp madness is upon us. The door rattles, clawed hands scraping metal. Snarling, the creature punches through. A razor limb pierces a thin section of door and pries it open with a shriek of torn steel. I unload my lasgun as it forces its way in, pale and ghastly in the red light. Shots scorch its torso. It shrieks, but barrels forward. We collide and crash onto the floor, its slavering jaws snapping inches from my face. I shove my forearm under its throat to keep those teeth at bay. Its claws rake at my sides, finding gaps in my armor. I grunt in pain. My free hand fumbles at my belt and finds a grenade. Hand to hand with this thing, a grenade might kill us both. But death by shrapnel beats being eaten alive. I jam the grenade against its chest and thumb the activator. Before I let go, a bolt pistol's roar splits the air. The creature's head explodes, showering me in foul ichor. The lifeless corpse slumps atop me. I scramble out from under as Soloran, panting and bloodied, steps through the half-destroyed door, smoking pistol in hand. He must have heard the commotion and come running. The captain helps haul me up. "You okay?" he snaps. I nod, chest heaving. "Thank you, sir." He barely acknowledges, eyes already drawn to the artifact behind me. Throne of Terror. I turn. The cylinder's glass is cracked all over, and through it a sickly green glow pulses. Inside, the chains quiver as if something within moves. A low thump emanates, like a weak heartbeat kicking to life. Serok and Ralva arrive behind the captain, weapons drawn, faces grim. "They're all over," Serok growls. "At least four of those things. We've killed two. Serena..." He can't finish. I see the anguish flash in his eyes. Serena must have been slaughtered in medbay by these stowaways. We need to drop out of warp. Now! Thales cries from further down the corridor, stumbling toward us with Keras's help. The navigator's eyes are wild. Geller Field faltered. Creatures came through. Emperor, save us. The ship lurches suddenly, tossing us against the walls. The lights gutter as reality shifts. Thales must have forced an emergency translation. A bone-jarring impact, likely re-entry into real space, far sooner than planned. Bridge, now, Captain Soloran orders. We half run, half climb the corridor, stepping over two more crew corpses. One is Fel, our deckhand. His sightless eyes stare up in horror, throat torn out. I feel a pang. I try to save him. But Emperor, forgive me. I failed. On the bridge, alarms blare. Atmosphere leaks reported on lower decks. Multiple system errors scrolling on cracked screens. We've emerged who knows where. Through the forward viewport, I see a starfield, and the hazy outline of what might be a space station or asteroid base in the distance. No time to consider that. One remaining monster skitters into the bridge behind us. Ralvar blasts it apart with a point-blank shotgun roar, the pieces sliding to a stop at my feet. All falls quiet, save for the hiss of sparking wires. Survivors, Soloran, Serok, limping, Ralvar, bleeding from a shoulder gash. Keras, clutching a broken arm, Thales, hyperventilating, and me. That's it. From 12 down to 6 in minutes. Then the artifact's chamber explodes. Not literally, but the glass finally gives way with an ear-splitting crack. We spin to see shards raining down as the cylinder shatters from within. The chains that bound the thing clatter loose. For a heartbeat, nothing moves in the settling fog of cold vapor. Then it rises from the debris. It's the size of a man, but malformed, a gray-green mass of sinew and chitin. One upper limb hangs like a withered arm, ending in a clawed hand. A single burning eye opens on what might be a head, and below it a vertical maw filled with teeth splits the torso. From that maw issues a sound between a howl and a moan, a psychic wail that we feel inside our skulls. We drop to our knees, clutching our ears as the horror's guttural voice invades our minds. Free. At last. So. Hungry. I scream in defiance and fire my laser gun. Ralvar and Serok join in. Bolts, bullets, beams tear into the abomination. Gobbets of unnatural flesh are blasted off, but it lurches forward relentlessly. It doesn't roar. It just floods our thoughts with those whispers. Free. Hunger. I sense eons of pain and malevolence in that mental touch, as if this creature is but a fragment of something far greater, a spawn of an ancient horror that once scourged these stars. Ralvar, cursing with every breath, unloads shell after shell. The monster's charnel flesh splatters the bulkheads, yet still it comes. In an eye blink, it's upon us. A hooked talon lashes out, catching Ralvar under the chin and severing his head from his neck as easily as snuffing a candle. Our gunner's body falls with a thud. Serok charges with a furious howl, axe whirling. The captain is right beside him, power sword crackling to life. They hack at the fiend, carving off chunks of oozing meat. The creature batters Serok aside with its single mighty arm. He flies into a console with a sickening crunch and does not rise. Soloran fights on, face twisted in a snarl, blade cleaving through the abomination's vile form again and again. I fire shot after shot, aiming for that baleful eye. One lasbolt finally pierces it, and the entity screams. A psychic agony that sends Keras and Thales collapsing in convulsions. I stagger, blood trickling from my nose, but remain upright. The creature, half blind and enraged, lashes out with a blast of force that sends me and Keras tumbling across the bridge. I smack hard against a bulkhead, pain flaring in my ribs. Dazed, I see Solaran alone, still standing against the thing, both of them drenched in dripping black ichor and crimson blood. The captain meets my gaze across the carnage. In his eyes, I see resolve. "Out! Now!" he barks, with unwavering authority. I know what he means. He's going to sacrifice himself. "Captain, no!" I choke out, but he's beyond hearing. I scramble to my feet, grab Thales, who's whimpering deliriously, and drag him out of the bridge. I'm not even sure where to run, just away. Behind me, through the chaos, I see Solaran press his body against the writhing abomination, pinning it against the warp core housing. In his hand is a frag grenade. He thumbs the igniter and shoves it deep into the monster's chest maw. Our eyes meet one final time. Captain Solaran, pirate lord with an emperor's soul after all. He gives me the barest nod, a farewell and an order all in one. I haul Thales around the corner into the corridor, hurling us both to the deck. An instant later, a blast like the wrath of the emperor himself detonates. The ship rocks. Fire and shrapnel race down the hallway, singeing my back as I shield Thales. The lights flash out, plunging us into darkness, lit only by tongues of flame from the bridge. Ringing silence. I taste blood and smoke. My vision swims. Slowly I rise. The bulkhead is warped and blackened. Beyond, nothing moves. Captain Solaran is gone. The thing, I pray it's gone too. Miraculously, the ship still holds pressure. Emergency systems kick on, dousing fires, sealing ruptures. I limp back onto the bridge, half of it blown out. Amid twisted metal and viscera, there's no sign of Solaran or the creature, just an ugly smear where they stood. I find Kerry's body nearby, lifeless. Serox too. Only Thales and I remain, and Thales is barely coherent, rocking and sobbing about the warp and the eyes in the dark. Outside the viewport, I glimpse salvation. We drift near a sprawling void station. Footfall, by the look of its gothic spires and tethered asteroids. The Emperor or fate guided us here. Wiping blood from my face, I engage thrusters on what remains of the console. The Cerberus blade, ruined but functional, lists toward Footfall. Automated warning signals hail us. I respond with a feeble distress call. Mayday. Warp breach. Heavy casualties. Need assistance. The next hours blur. Tugs latch on and tow us in. Armsmen sweep our ship for threats. They find only corpses and damage. A medicie pulls me and Thales out. Thales is babbling about nightmare engines. They sedate him. I'm left lying on a hab bed, staring at grey metal ceiling panels and feeling empty. Captain Solaran died stopping that horror. At least I tell myself it's truly stopped. I retrieved his blood-stained aquila from the wreckage and clutch it now as if it was a ward. This trinket of faith is all that's left of him, and perhaps of my own faith too, and faith too. Eventually, I find myself in a dingy Footfall cantina, nursing a tar-black amasek. I try to drown the memory of that eye, that voice, but it's etched in me. I overhear a grubby trader at the bar mutter to his partner, "Heard some colony near the Ghoul Stars went dark last week. Talk of a plague or something." "Hush, hush." His friend shudders and orders another drink. I close my eyes. The nightmare might not be over after all. The log on the derelict, the scrawled warning on its walls. "We awake." I suspect that was no mere coincidence. Perhaps what we encountered was just a herald, a single tendril of a much greater darkness stirring in that forsaken region. I drain my glass and step outside into Footfall's crowded, lawless promenade. The air stinks of sweat and promethium, the din of merchants and heretics hawking wares assaulting the ears. yet I feel distant from it all. At a grimy viewport, I pause and look out at the stars. Somewhere, far to the galactic northeast beyond the void, lie the ghoul stars, those haunted worlds, under dying suns, where light of the Astronomicon barely reaches. I wonder if, out there, an ancient hunger stirs because of what we did, or if it was always stirring and we were just unlucky enough to cross its path. I survived when seasoned voidfarers did not. Perhaps the Emperor still cast a sliver of his gaze on me, or perhaps the darkness itself let me live to be its messenger of dread. I do not know. I only know that the deep void has horrors we are not meant to fathom. I unclench my fist and stare at the Aquila amulet in my palm. Varos, I remind myself. That's my name, and I carry this story like a scar on my soul. With a final silent prayer for the fallen, I tuck the Aquila into my coat, turn from the viewport, and disappear into Footfall's shadows. The tale of the Cerberus blade and the thing we found, no one will likely ever hear it in full, but I will always remember. In my dreams, I still hear that whisper, feel that eye upon me from light years away. The ghoul stars keep their secrets, but some of those secrets now live within me. And as I leave that cursed region behind, a lingering dread coils in my heart that one day, in some distant time under cold and dying suns, it will awake fully, and Emperor help us all when it does. Thus ends tonight's tale. A grim reminder that in the darkness of the void, some hungers can never be sated. In the silent wake of the ancient horror we witnessed, we are left with more questions than answers. What became of those lost souls, adrift beyond the Emperor's light? Perhaps only the cold void bears witness to their fate. Such is the nature of the grimdark future. Even the bravest or most desperate may fall prey to horrors unimaginable. The stars remember, and the hunger in the ghoul stars still stirs, eternal and indifferent. Thank you for journeying with Grimdark Shards through this darkness. If this tale awakened your soul, and you hunger for more, subscribe to Grimdark Shards and join our ranks. Hit like and sound the bell of notification. In doing so, you shall never miss our next journey into darkness. Until next time, stay vigilant in the void, for who knows what hungers beyond the Emperor's light.